you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm on the cage. Every foul wicked spirit is the host of the news.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really have to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now, on to our show.
Thanks for tuning in, boys and girls. I'm T.C. Downey, and with me on the line is my co-host, Dark Fool. Dark Fool, how you doing today, man?
Doing pretty good today, man. Well, actually, that's not quite so accurate. As I told you before, I'm pretty loopy on cold medication, but I'm here. I'm doing this thing, and there's nothing like getting high and talking about Jesus. Am I right?
Right on, man. For those that are listening, there's a little bit of an echo. I know that because we have our special guest, Tim is hardcore on here, and he's a little bit hard of hearing. So if everybody would, just kind of be patient with that.
Do you want me to try this?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, do you want me to try it without the headphone and see if the echo stops?
If you wouldn't mind, that'd be awesome.
I will. Let me pull this thing out here real quick.
All right.
Is that better?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, then I will not. Then I will not use those headphones. That'll be fine. I can bear with it.
All right. Well, Tim, we have not had a highlight edition in quite some time, and it's interesting that you would be the first one in a long chain of discussion to become a highlight edition, because one thing you certainly are always doing is getting involved in discussion. So. For the people who aren't familiar with you, if you would just kind of introduce yourself a little bit, and then we can kind of go from there.
Okay. My username is Tim is Hardcore. I'm currently living in Phoenix. Came down from Washington State about 15 months ago. I did some YouTube videos. I actually followed Jason King from MySpace, his Cathedral of the Black Goat MySpace. Thing and came onto YouTube and was talking with him. I don't know what else you want to know about me. I'm married. I have a 13-year-old. I have two older children that are both married and have kids. So I'm a grandfather besides that. I drive for FedEx.
Right.
And it's hot down here. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was actually going to say what makes you particularly interesting to me is how you describe your belief set. So I thought maybe we would kind of put that out there right now. You're a Christian, but not necessarily a traditional Christian. So if you would just kind of explain how you describe your belief set.
Ooh, that's kind of hard. You know, I like to say, how do you define what is constantly changing? But the point is, yes, I'm a Christian. Fundamentalist, it depends. On you know, how everybody defines fundamentalists. I guess I started out that way. But I started out, my belief in God started from observation. I didn't have a Bible at the time that God became a reality to me. But anyway, that said, my belief is, somewhat that I believe the Bible is not literal. I don't think God wrote it and dropped it down out of the sky. I believe it's a story of people who follow God and down to the lines of mistakes. And I read these, you know, when I read the Bible, I'm looking at it more metaphorically, spiritually, however, you know, rather than just a literal book. Anyway.
Okay. And you have described yourself as a kingdom seeker. Is that, was that correct?
Yeah, I have this little saying. I said, I've forsaken Christianity for the kingdom, or to seek the kingdom of God. The Bible says, you know, the Bible really doesn't say anything about Christianity. It doesn't say, oh, you're Christians. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we're going to start calling you Christian. I know it started out, I think it was Antioch. But the point is that Jesus said that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things are added to you as well. What? All these things, the kingdom. he's talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't talk about being Christians. He talks about being kingdom people, kingdom seekers. And so I kind of, because I dislike the way Christianity is headed, I continue to call myself a kingdom seeker.
I like that. Now, you said that you actually look at the Bible as more of a metaphorical or allegorical book than a literal story. So I'm a little confused then. Would you describe yourself still as being a theist or a deist?
I kind of figured when I said that I was going to... I think Dark Fool said one time, I made a video, and, you know, I call myself a monotheist, but you did say I was theist. Yes, I do believe that there are more than one God, but I believe that there is only one true God as it is. Okay, I know that's, you know, that there is one higher than all, and all the others are minor, so to speak. I guess you can call myself many different things, but yeah, I'm a monotheist in the sense that I would choose one God of all, but I do believe that there are many gods.
Right. Now, Tim, I'm not going to ask you to, like, stand on a soapbox or anything, but what I would like you to kind of do is just maybe articulate some of the things that disappoint you about Christianity as it is today and how you think that they could be made better.
Yeah, that coincides with the question I was going to ask about how do you relate to your other quote-unquote fellow Christians?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I kind of be a little bit on the outside looking in when it comes to my fellow Christians, so to speak. I've, you know, been called many different things, mostly by the Christian community. You know, actually one guy told me I was going to burn because I thought that Christianity could go higher than it is now. But, hey, whatever. Christianity has a tendency to lord it over. And then I think that's the problem. You're right. The very idea when we look at Christianity and this I think there's a difference between unity and conformity. And although certainly Christians need to conform to a certain standard, I guess, but I think that this idea that we need to be all cookie cutters is ridiculous. And we all have to agree with the pastor of this church, and churches tend to lord it over others. And if you're not part of their church, even, I mean, you're not talking about a denomination, you're talking about a church, you're on the outside. And I think that Christianity spends more time building big, huge monuments, making millions and millions of dollars, and yet the people around them are losing their homes and not being fed. And I think that's one thing that is so anti-Christian or kingdom-seeking that it just ills me.
Okay, well, that's certainly reasonable. I mean, that's one of my complaints, actually, too, is that it, like the government, isn't really giving anything back to the people. It's just kind of amassing its own wealth and stature as an idea. What I really think...
Right, and it...
Go ahead.
And in other words, it's the shepherd has a responsibility to his flock. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yes, I agree with that entirely. I really like Tim for a lot of reasons, and... first of all, you're always adversarial to the sense that you can tell whenever you're posting a response to something that you put thought to it, and not only have you said, oh, this is my opinion of it, but you obviously stop and think about what the other person is trying to convey, and I think that that's something we don't find on the streets every day at all. Let's see. I guess rather than kind of get right to, you know, really examining your beliefs, I'd like more of your perspective. Someone who has been hanging out on, satanic channels for a while that I'm aware of, I'm sure you've developed some kind of an opinion of Satanism. What would you mind articulating your opinion of it?
Sorry. Well, I'll be honest with you. Like I said before, I held a pretty clear fundamentalist belief about Satanism and all that a while ago. And over about the last, probably close to 5 or 6 years, it's changed. Certainly I see Satanism differently than I do because it's a multitude of things. There are, there's theists, there's atheists, there's whatever. And I understand your guys' point where, you know, but there's this kind of move that a lot of people talk about it being a certain thing. It has to be. But you know what I mean? Dan Dredd's on, and I can see him and things. So he's kind of a guy who holds this as Satanism. Anything else is just a lie kind of thing. And I said, I'm not a Satanist unless you define it as adversarial. Then, okay, yeah, I'm adversarial. But I think if you read the Bible, so is God, so is Jesus. It's just a matter of what do I emphasize in my life. But anyway, I think Satanism holds the problem that I have with Satanism, what I see is this this absorption of self. And I don't mean that with the whole, or I mean that with the whole as part of, you know, not each individual. And that is, I think, in order for the human race to become, you know, better, it has to begin to work together. And I think that's where I see, that's where the kingdom went wrong, in that it, you know, the Christianity went wrong, is that it went the other direction too. It went over lording it over them instead of working with people. And where Satanism is kind of onto this whole idea of every man for himself.
Right on. And so, you see it, the right line being somewhere between the two polar extremes, I take it.
Yeah, I kind of think that, and you get your fundamentalists, you know, like your Pat Robertsons, you know, that the pendulum swings way too far over there, and everybody's evil, and everybody's, you know, this, and then you get the Satanists, the pendulum swings the other way, and it's kill all the Christians, you know, and it's kind of both ways, you know what I mean? You get over here. I think Jesus said, don't move to the left or to the right. And I think that there's a middle ground where you can see both sides, but you're not off into the off the road into the forest, bumping into all the trees and putting knots on your head, so to speak.
So it sounds like an element of, from what you're describing, Tim, it sounds like an element of altruism is missing.
You know, the funny thing about that is a lot of, my philosophies of life and even Christianity is kind of, even when I read the Bible, are kind of based upon thought. I'm a critical thinker, which I realize Christianity doesn't like a lot of those kind of people. I kind of read it and say, well, hey, that's kind of cool, but what can I get out of it other than a literal story of a flood or a little bit? But I think the thing is that a lot of people, you say that, but the problem is I don't, you know, since being on these channels, I've had to do a lot of studying on what you guys are telling me you think that I am. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just I had to say, because I didn't know that. I didn't study philosophy when I was growing up. I just brought up my own. So a lot of my philosophies that I see, or that I believe about Christianity, Satanism, all these are things just to observe. And so most of them, I won't say all of them. But so it's neat that you say that, because it's like, huh, I guess so. I guess maybe I'll have to look up a little bit more on that, you know, to see exactly if that fits my thought pattern.
You know, it's funny that I'm actually kind of going through the same thing right now with some of my philosophies, so I can actually remember what I'm talking about.
What's something I'm curious about real quick, and I'm sorry if... I'm sorry if I get distracted for just a second, but you were just making mention about swaying neither right or left, and what was interesting is that as you were making that mention, the first thing that popped in my mind was something that I read Jesus saying as a teenager, and that was that you were to be neither hot nor cold, or you were to be either hot or cold. If you were lukewarm, he would spat you out of his mouth. So I'm kind of curious as to, you know, what you think the differences were. I mean, you think it's a contextual thing there? He was talking about one specific thing in one quote, one that you did, and a different thing in my quote?
Well, I would look at that. I would look at that differently. I would say this. I would look at you and say, if you were floundering in your faith, I mean, the one thing I like about many of the people on this side, so, you know, the go-getters, that is, on YouTube or on Sin, or even, you know, even the Cult of Cthulhu, or anybody that's, or Christianity, someone who stands for something. It doesn't mean they can't sway just a little bit. The road can be a little bit, you know, you got two lanes on the road, maybe you can go around, but a lot of people, they're so iffy, and they swing so far left or right that they don't really have anything substantial. They don't have anything concrete. They don't have a foundation. And I think that's the difference. I think what he's saying is, look, don't be wishy-washy, you know what I mean? But you know, don't be wishy-washy. Be lukewarm. Be you know what I mean? Try to be substantial. Try to have something you're holding on to that's concrete and not necessarily this or that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And that's the way I interpreted it, too. It's just now... Now, that's why I was wondering if you thought it was a contextual thing, because the left or right seem to be the same kind of a reference to me.
Yeah.
But I'm taking it that you maybe see that a little bit differently. I'm assuming that you think the left or right is wrong or right, where I was taking it as being either, you know, hard or soft or hot or cold, that kind of thing.
No, I wouldn't say right or wrong. I would say the same thing. I'd say you can be so, in other words, if you're going to go all the way over here and you're going to be on this one side where you're so fundamentalist that you can't possibly have any other point of view but that, or you can be so soft that, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So anytime someone says something, you're just bobbling. You know, I call them bobbleheads. Those people who sit in church and they just, anytime the pastor says anything, they're, but they really probably don't get what he was trying to say. So that's what I kind of get that as. It's not necessarily right or wrong, but as far as just, you know, look, man, don't be so hard that you can't see another point of view, and don't be so soft that every point of view becomes your own.
Right on. That makes good, solid sense. Now, there's a question that's been posed in the chat room that I am curious about the answer to. It was queried as to how you felt about being referred to as our token Christian.
Yeah, I'm reading those, yeah. How do I feel about that? You know,
yeah,
I've been called worse.
Right on.
You know, I take it all as in fun. I mean, you know, like I said, no man shall be my master, emphasis man or woman. But, you know, I mean, the fact is that, I think it's funny. That's fine. You know, you call me what you want. I mean, like I said, I've been called worse, been threatened on YouTube. And, you know, this is so, I mean, to me, I take everything in fun. I take everything with a smile on my face because, you know, I don't see it as a problem. Call me what you will, but, you know, what somebody says doesn't make up to some of them. And if I'm the token Christian on here, hey, at least I have the, you know, the nuts to come on and actually speak. Some people wouldn't even, would just, you know, call you guys all evil and walk away, and that's not how I feel, so.
Right.
Now, do a lot of your other, your fellow Christians know about you getting onto YouTube and being amongst Satanists, and how does that, you know, how do they, how does that affect them, positively, negatively?
As a matter of fact, a lot of them do. As you know, I ran a kind of a home church back in Washington State, 30, 40 people, and a lot of them, there were college age that would come around, and we had a lot of good fun, and a lot of them came on my YouTube site and were there, but I just tell them this one thing, if you can't handle it, some people get offended very easily in the Christian faith, obviously, and if you can't handle what I'm doing, don't get on. I don't want you to go on there stirring up stuff and calling all these people names because you don't understand them or you don't do this. I don't, you know, I mean, of course, you know, the people on YouTube, you know, the yoke-ups, you know who they are on there. They just call me a Wiccan priest or evil and all that other stuff because I don't choose to come on here and throw scripture at you guys all the time because the scripture is written for me, not for the non-believer.
Awesome. I think what should really be paid attention here, for anybody listening to this, is the way that you choose to constantly reinforce your own sovereignty, your own individuality. That I think is why most of us tell you you're a Christian and are a wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak, because you just have this very firm concept of who you are, and it doesn't really. Well, it bends, but it's not so soft that it smushes, and it very much matches what you're talking about. It's proof that you're not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. That was just kind of some observation here that I wanted to point out, because one of the things I really enjoy about you, and I'm very curious as to how you would achieve this kingdom that you're always talking about. So if you could tell me about that, that'd be great.
Well, first of all, one thing I think that Christians need to understand is there's only one theocracy that God approved of, and that was the Promised Land, the Jews, the Israel, or the land of Israel. That was the only true theocracy. I live by what I consider a theocracy of the heart, where in the New Testament, Paul, I think it was, talks about that if the Gentiles do not have the law, do what's in the law just by living their lives, are they not just righteous? And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I live by what is called a theocracy of the heart, and I actually did a couple of videos on that before going to some YouTube Christians, but where I believe that I, in myself, I'm going to use some, you know, a little bit of metaphor here, that I myself put to death that which is contrary to God's law by the stoning, or, you know, Jesus the rock, by stoning. And I said, the kingdom is achieved by me. I am my own kingdom on earth. I am the church, just as every other Christian should be the church. And so as I walk my life, I do the best I can to bring forth the view of the kingdom. When I read the Bible, it's a mirror to me. In other words, when I look at it, I look in the mirror, and it should reflect the kingdom back. So that's how I look. The only way to achieve it on this earth is to simply live by it. Is that easy? Not necessarily, especially not being me, but that's how I view the kingdom on earth.
Right. Now, do you actually take the time to question the particular dogmas that you practice, or is it just something that you think constant?
Say that again. I'm sorry. You kind of broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I was asking was if you actually took the time to question, to kind of constructively think out the dogma that you've adhered to. If it's something that, as you owe him and that the Bible says to do this, if you stop and add the practicality to it of actually putting it into play and see what you really think of it. You know, I guess what I'm asking you is if you measure before you cut.
I'm gonna play dumb here, but I'm gonna try. I'm not sure if I get the gist of your question. Could be just
okay.
My hearing, but go ahead and ask me the question again. Just
what I'm wondering is, as you come across different rules that you're supposed to live by, as you study the Bible, do you test it mentally? Do you put it to the question? Do you ask, why am I doing this? Or do you just say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that time. Yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying. Do I? Of course I do. I look at prayer as simply talking. I talk to myself all the time, or I just talk, and I just kind of. And of course, I'm always in an argument with God. Whether that's an argument with myself, whether I guess I'll find out when I die. But you know, to me, certainly I do. I question many things. If I do things out of just a mechanical, I'm doing this because. Then I've kind of missed the point, you know what I mean? And that gives me room to move. If I'm doing things, I like to say it this way: before I was a Christian, I was a thief, and I was a bad kid. Okay, let's just put it that way. And I would have been considered evil by my neighbors, and I was. But the point being is, now I just kind of gravitate towards those things which are different. I couldn't take a nickel from you. If you gave me a nickel back, more intended, give it back to you. It's just that's the way that I am now. I just don't have that thing, and it's just I don't have to question those things. When I'm doing something, certainly I do. I always question everything. Again, that's probably what makes me a better Satanist or adversarialist than it does Christian, is the fact that I think I overthink everything, overcritical on everything, and I'm asking myself, I don't want to do things just to do things. And I'm probably rambling here, sorry, but
I have a follow-up question. For that,
okay.
Then how do you reconcile faith? You know, where does faith come into play if, you know, you put everything into question first?
Where does what come into play?
Faith.
Did you say safe?
Faith.
F-A-I.
Oh, saved. I'm sorry. Saved?
No, faith, Tim.
Faith.
Oh,
faith in God,
man,
faith
sorry.
In Jesus.
There goes my hearing there. Okay, faith. Where does faith come into play? Well, you got to here's the question, I guess we have to ask: what is faith? If the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, then I look at faith as of expectancy of outcome. So, in other words, when I'm asking for something, you know, if I'm standing on a street corner and I say, "Lord, I'm really hungry, I'd like an apple," and I hold out my hand, and two people go by, one puts an orange, one puts a banana, my faith has not been realized yet. But when someone puts an apple in my hand, my faith is realized. I know that's kind of really, you know, that could, and that very well could be coincidental, but my point is faith has to have, you know, if I'm going to jump off a bridge, I'm going to have faith I'm going to survive when I hit, unless I'm committing suicide. So my faith, there's got to be a substance. Where does faith come in? faith comes in from the fact that, you know, that when I read these things and I say, okay, this is my life, I'm going to live, it's a discipline. The faith is that there's going to be an outcome to this, that I'm going to be a better person at the end of it, if that answers that question.
But, Tim, couldn't that just also be probability?
Well, you know, you're right. I guess there is a probability that I could be wrong in this and that one of us two is right. You're right. Everything, but I think you could look at everything that same way, couldn't we? I mean, in a obviously painting with a broad brush, but you're right. You once said, hey, Doug, let me ask you this. You once said you did a ritual. You read a ritual one time and you said it like acted overnight. But you acted as if that magic that you said you didn't like it to be considered coincidence or probability, but you were talking about how this person that you did this destruction ritual, whatever, when they say, you talked as if that was an absolute, as if there's some dark force behind that went and did your bidding, so to speak. Is that right? I think if you know what I'm talking about there.
Well, the coincidences, now, that's a very interesting point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, in that particular circumstance, the coincidences were so great, and it was so rare that, you know, exact words were spoken. For example, somebody, that person who I did it on, said, I feel as if it was a curse or something. You know, it's like, these coincidences matched up almost perfectly to the point where I was just floored. So, I mean, you draw a good parallel there.
No, and I would say I agree. I think that your magic worked, but I believe there's got to be something behind that. You know what I mean? It's not like you're aiming it at the person, but there's got to be some kind of a conscious force behind that to be able to make it work. So it could be probability. You're right. There are certain things in Christianity that I believe that, you know, it's just probability. I believe the perfect example is the placebo effect, but I believe that's instituted because it works on faith. You know what I mean? At this point, it works on faith. You know,
well played. I said well played.
So, you know, I think I agree with you. I think your magic worked. I think but that's kind of my point behind my prayer. We discussed this before, I think, on YouTube on certain things that your idea of you do prayer just differently than I do. You believe it's a union or working together with these forces to do, you know, to do a job.
Alignment instead of worship.
Yeah, alignment instead of worship. But, you know, what is a true act of worship? If you know what I mean? I mean, that's what we got to define our words, and that's kind of, I think, what is the act of worship is great admiration for the God of all. You know what I mean? And that's my act of worship. Every time that I acknowledge God, I believe is an act of worship. Every time I realize who He is, an act of worship to me.
It's very interesting. Tim, I guess I should, this is at the halfway point in the show here. I guess I should give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. If you don't have any, then I'm sure we can come up with something else to talk about. I'm trying to chew on everything you just said to us. So,
you want me to ask questions?
I want to know if you have any questions, yes.
Oh. You know, most of my questions that I had to ask is simply been answered through my you know, being on the two sites, the Cult of Cthulhu and Sin Site. The ideas, you know, of what, because I incorporate, you know, it's like Dan resonates with me quite a bit, as you do, Dark Force. Again, the big guns of Satanism, as it were, resonate with me. In sense, but I'm also able to understand that how that incorporates into my life, and I think to a certain degree, I think I better understand my adversarial nature as it pertains to the kingdom of God too. And it's funny, but you know, I'm sorry if I say this to you, but you know, I also believe the devil is a tool in the hands of God. Sorry, I had to say that, but so I think that I can use, I use, and I love learning. I have many books. You know, I guess I'm not asking a question, but I have many books here that I've asked people to, you know, I probably got, you know, 30 books here that I haven't read yet because I've been a real bookworm in the last couple of years. I'm on every different kind of thing, including Christian books. You know, right now I'm reading The Fourth Day by P.D. Ospensky, yeah. I'm trying to get there. I don't have a lot of time to read, but I don't really have any specific questions.
Okay.
in that, but just to actually give everybody some kudos, because everybody's given me great food for thought. But it's funny how by being on this, actually it's increased my faith, because I no longer, how do I put this? I don't know. I guess I can't put it anymore. I no longer am, you know, and I know you all laugh at this, I'm no longer shackled to a certain mindset. Believe it or not, I'm completely different than probably 99% of the Christians I come in contact with.
Oh, I would agree with that entirely. Just from what I've observed of you, I know that you're completely different than most of the Christians that I've encountered. So I would agree with that entirely. Well, I'm actually kind of curious about, because I just wanted to say this. When you were describing, hanging out with the devil, so to speak, and how the devil is the hand of God, I was thinking to myself about an old term that they used to use for somebody who was tainted with the spirit of evil. They used to say that person was a bit touched. And I was going to ask you if you felt maybe you were a bit touched.
A bit touched?
Yeah, touched.
By the you're going into the... so you're talking about, am I a bit touched by the spirit of evils?
Yeah, of Satanism. Not necessarily of evil, but of Satanism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, true, this, you know, I find it funny we look at evil too, but, you know, evil in the Hebrew is simply not good or bad. That's all the word means.
Right.
So even even Joshua said, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord. So, you know, if it meant anything really, really terribly wrong, I think you would have been struck down at that point in time. Have I been touched? I don't know if granted, I guess I'd have to really, really, truly sit down with you over a cup of coffee or over a Mountain Dew or over even a beer and discuss what you really mean by that. But I guess, yeah, I guess if you're saying, I believe, because I guess I'm not quite understanding the question, but if you're talking about the spirit of evil, I would say this, you know, how we get into the deliverance, you have a lot of deliverance ministries out there trying to deliver you of evil spirits. Well, I believe deliverance is just exchanging a truth for a lie, or a lie for a truth. In other words, if I'm delivered out of a lie, I'm exchanging the truth for that lie that I had, and delivers me from that lie. So, have I been touched in that way? I'll accept that. Yeah, if I'm reading you right, yeah, I'll accept that, because I do believe that. What's that?
I have a question, but I just want to know: are we going to hell, Tim?
What's that?
Are we going to hell? I mean, are we damned? Are we doomed?
Are we? Is that an inside joke? Because I didn't get it.
No, I don't think it's an inside joke, but it's definitely an ironic question.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you know, we hear from most fundamentalists, you know, they come on and they say, you're all going to hell, and I want to know what your take is on that, you know, like the acceptance of a certain truth, or, you know, what's your take on the whole, you know, going to hell bit?
Considering the fact that the Bible has been touched and retouched and handled and soiled by man, my belief in the afterlife, the reason why you'll never, this might be the only time you'll hear me talk about heaven and hell or that, is because I don't necessarily think I have a clear view as to what. If I said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, the wages of sin is death. It didn't say eternal death. It said death. So we'll just say, let's just say, if I believe in heaven and I'm going there, I don't think, even if I could use that scripture as my soul scripture, I would say that hell doesn't exist. People just are gone. Those who are non-believers don't live forever. They just live this life. They're done. But I don't have a view of the afterlife. I don't know. Believe it or not, I'm a Christian and I don't know. I've read the Bible both Old and New a dozen times, and I tell you what, I'm no scholar, but I just don't have all the answers.
That is the most fascinating thing I've ever heard a Christian say, man.
So that's the reason why you'll never hear me sit there and talk. I'll talk about that. And I hate it. I've been ostracized from Christian people on YouTube because I don't make videos to people, you know, to you guys, to the other side, as they call it, whatever, the other side of the tracks. Funny thing is, I like to ride the tracks. I'm not on one side of the other tracks, but, you know, nonetheless, because I don't write a video saying you're going to hell. You know what? Everybody, I think everybody in this world's heard the concept of hell. or heaven. I don't think I need to sit there and reiterate it and do this. And believe it or not, I don't serve God because I'm probably more likely to be going to hell under the criteria of the Bible than going to heaven. So to me, I don't serve God based upon that. It's not a fear base for me. It's I believe it's the better path for me.
Okay, let's. We've got a question here from the chat room. We'd like to know what you think the occult value of the Bible is, and then also what your feelings considering the Bible as an occult text. So, yeah.
Well, I guess, how about this? One of you guys would do this. Maybe you guys can give me a very excellent a definition of a cult. And not just... go ahead.
The occult, I would assume that it's any form of religious study of religious practice with... I don't know, a particular angle on the philosophy, metaphysics, or, I don't even know.
Or like codes within the Bible, such as when Jesus healed the blind man, and they asked him what he saw for the first time, he said, men walking as trees. You know, codes mm-hmm. like that, I guess, I think is what it's more referring to. I could be wrong.
That sounds relatively reasonable. I think a cult is just a fancy way of saying other religions. So I think really what Khorasan was trying to get to is if you were to take the Bible and set it with, say, the Quran, the Necronomicon, the Satanic Bible,
any of the other books out there?
Any of the other books out there?
Or any kind.
Yeah. What do you think of it if you were to place it in that same category? Meaning, if you didn't have the personal faith invested in it that you had, would you view it to be in the same category?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to place, we'll say I have all these books, and I were to say this is number one, this is number two, as far as worth to me or the way how I look at them, I would put the Bible first. I think simply because I think, again, like I said, I think all things stem from the kingdom, not vice versa. So I would put the Bible first. I know that, I know that we have this thing we're going to talk about, and I'm just going to bring this up as a point. A lot of this, a lot of times I hear people talking about how the Christian religion is brought, or the God of the Bible and all that is all brought out of other religions. But if we truly understood the Christian faith believes that God was, is, and always will be, right? And the Bible even talks about how in the beginning was the Word was with God, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the Lord, as they're interpreting it, going back to everything was, then we see where I would look at everything stemming from the kingdom, an offshoot of the kingdom of some sort. So I would put the Bible first. Not that I think it's the infallible word, and I think it's the greatest. I think it, but I think it's because I can see. How do I put this? I can see. I can see where all these other things. I can use all these other things. But, like reading the Lucifer Principle. I've read the since Zach gave me that little thing about the a while back when we were talking about stuff, and he told me I should read the Satanic Bible. Kind of before I talk about, so I read it. I actually went out and bought it. I also bought the Lucifer Principle. Read that. Both fascinating books. You know what I mean? But I think I can look at those things and I can read the Bible and I can say no. I can see where that same wisdom is. I can read it in the Bible as well. If that answers that question.
I think it does, man. I mean,
okay. Sometimes I can talk and not answer the question you ask. Got to make sure you set me right on that.
To be honest with you, I wasn't really certain of how the question's intent was phrased anyway, but I figured I'd put it out there. What I'm going to do at this point now, we've got 20 minutes left, and normally at the end we go ahead and open up the phone lines for anybody that wants to say hi or make a comment to you or whatever, ask you a question. If that's good with you, then I'll put out the call-in number.
Have at it.
All right. It's 347-989-1371. If you want to ask Tim a question, make a comment, or, I don't know, say hello. Actually, hold on. We've got a call already. Let me go ahead and I'll go ahead and put that on. Caller, you're on the news.
Hey, Tim. It's Coruscant. I just wanted to clarify the question, you know, to see what I was driving towards. Okay, for instance, like when you take the Bible, you know, it's not just explained to you in layman terms. There's gnosis to be drawn from it, that by studying it and reading it, you can draw out gnosis, you know, basically unconfirmed wisdom from it. Like, for instance, I use the Bible itself for metaphor and using it in different things for the same aim, but I wouldn't consider myself to be a Christian, so I treat it like an occult text. So I wanted to know your feelings on, you know, other people using the Bible for reasons other than, you know, to become Christian.
Okay. Yeah, I see here where someone wrote occult kind of means unknown or at least practice.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, yeah, I mean, it would be the same thing. I've read many different occult things in here. You know, I got the Lucifer Principle, which would be, you know, Jason calls the real Satanic Bible. Read the Satanic Bible. I have a book on Taoism. You know, I have books on that people would consider to be heresy, you know, in the Christian faith, even if they're written by so-called Christians. And I've read many things. I don't let a lot of people into my, world here, especially Christians, because they wouldn't understand, and then they tend to get on me about things that they know nothing about. But anyway, to answer your question, I have no problem. I think that if you are a person of any form of intellectual thought, any kind of ability to open your mind just an inch, you know what I mean? You can look at the world and you can read things, no matter what it is, and get wisdom from them. You can chew up the, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones, as it were. So I have no problem with people reading the Bible for any reason, even if it's just a good read. You know, it's a great story, if nothing else.
Okay.
So if
I was
that answers curious,
your question, because I know some Christians really, you know, if you misappropriate the text or, you know, misuse the text, they really, they get very territorial. Like,
well,
you're not a Christian, you shouldn't be reading it, or you shouldn't be using it in that manner.
I have no problem. I believe that the Bible was written to the believers, certainly, and that's the reason why you don't see me going around beating people over the head with it, because it's written to me.
Right.
It's beating me over the head because it's teaching me something and it's disciplining me. But as far as that goes, that's just, you know, I mean, that's another fine example of why I choose to disregard Christianity in pursuit of the kingdom of God. Those types of thinking. So.
Along those same lines, Tim, I have another question for you. Along those same lines, what do you think about, you know, particularly the Old Testament? The Old Testament is pretty much, I mean, it could be confirmed that, you know, a lot of stories came from, like, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Some things came from Zoroastrianism. So what's your take on all of the sources that they were, you know, they were pulled from and how that comes into play within the Bible?
Well, I guess I'll give you a little bit of a fundamentalist view on that. You know, like I was saying before, if I look at all things stemming from the kingdom, in other words, it's like the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. It didn't mean he was slain 2,000 years ago. It means it's always happened. So in other words, salvation, when we look at us Christians, think of the New Testament as something. No, nothing in the New Testament isn't in the Old Testament. David talks about salvation, these things. I think it's just a matter of coming down through the line and people really truly understanding it. But what I'm saying is that if all these things were already there, right, if all these things were already there, then I believe that those things can be brought in, you know, spirits, whether they be through spirits. It's like Druids believe that everything has a spirit, everything is, you know what I mean, and I might be misconfused, Druids, so there's one on here, sorry. sorry about that. Can you get the gist of what I'm saying? So it's like people are, that these spirits are bringing down these things and using what they've seen in heaven and planting them here on earth even before their time.
So kind of like a rehashing of what they've already known. So like incorporating these stories and saying, okay, this is what we knew before. Let's just keep building on it.
So that's kind of the way, you know, like I said, everything has already been around. So it's not that God wrote it, like we talked about on last time I called in, was, you know, I don't believe that God wrote the world out, and therefore we're just living according to these lines. But I do believe that, you know, because I believe that my life is being written before me as a living epistle. It's being written every step that I take. Life materializes around me, something new every day. But I do believe that all these things, since God was from the beginning and he's seen the end, I believe that all this is already known. So to those things that are there, it's kind of like prophecy, or anybody who can see, who says they can see the future, or who can call, it's like you did when you did your magic thing, you were calling out the future.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So if you can see that, then I can see where all these other things can come into alignment. But again, you're talking to a guy who looks at the flood. I can see the theme of the flood throughout the Bible, the washing of the water through the word, getting rid of all those things, and washing your mind through the water of the word. So I can see where when God called the world evil, there's evil inside, he uses the washing of the water to cleanse it. Not necessarily a little killing of everybody on earth, but a kind of a metaphor, kind of a hyperbole, kind of a thing explaining the story, whatever, however, allegory, to explain something about what needs to be done. Anyway.
Okay. Right on, man. I've got to say, I really have an appreciation for the term kingdom seeker. It's very interesting just in its own ambiguity, because that leads one person to wonder what really is the kingdom. And I suppose that's something I have to, you know, put into context with the story that's there within that book, because that's really the only map you've got, right?
Well, I think that it's a map, but I think, you know, I think that the greatest, I guess Dan would say this, and I'm going to give it to Dan and to attribute to Dan, but I'm not sure if that's exactly, see, I learned so much from you guys that I start quoting you all the time, but he says the map is not the territory. It's like the Bible points us in the right direction, but we have to go that direction, you know, and so when you're looking at the kingdom is not the same as the kingdom was then. You're talking about, you know, 5,000-year-old text, you're talking about barbaric people, you're talking about these. So it progresses forward. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, moving forward, always moving. You know what I mean? So I think that when you look at the kingdom, you read the Bible, but Scripture unfolds itself. You know, the Hebrew language is actually very poetic. It was like one word to mean many different things. And so I think that when you're looking at the Old Testament, you're reading the Old Testament, you're reading the New Testament, you're looking at something that's unfolding before your very eyes. I read the Bible, you know, I read the Bible, and sometimes I can read a Scripture 3 or 4 times, and the fifth or sixth time I read it, I get something new out of it. Something unfolds. What I knew yesterday is not what I know today about that same exact Scripture that I read. If that
so the kingdom is something that's kind of just out of, just always kind of out of man's reach.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it's out of his reach. I think the problem with it is that, I think the problem that we have is that it's been so diluted. Again, you know, it's what happens when you convert a pagan emperor and allow him to run the show. You go from, you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, love your neighbor as yourself, to the Spanish Inquisition, to, you know, death by the sword if you don't believe. And nowhere do I find that in Scripture. When they took the promised land, you don't see God saying, take the world, make disciples of all the world, but it didn't say killing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, you know, it comes down to the fact that, again, like I said, that Israel is the only theocracy. The rest of us are theocracies at heart, in my opinion.
That makes sense.
Can I ask you something? When you think of the kingdom, like when you have you studied Sufi Islam, you know, like the Sufis at all?
Have I studied them?
Yeah. Are you aware of them? Like any?
You know, I know them. But no, I wouldn't say that I'm by any means have studied them. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Obviously to a very base level. But.
Okay, because I was going to make a contrast comparison, but I just want to make sure you were at least versed on them. For instance, like in the sect of the Sufism, there's the whirling dervishes. I do a lot of transcendental dance and things, and there's a similar premise, in which through this whirling that they do, they're basically trying to commune with God. And what they do is they basically bring that essence of God into themselves. And then when they're trying to seek answers, for instance, from quote-unquote God, they're actually getting it from that kingdom within that they believe they've brought through this communion. When you think of this kingdom, do you compare it similarly, like where, you know, that kingdom is within, but it's in essence a communion with that higher power or that God that you visualize?
To the most part, yeah, I agree 100%. I think that the problem that we have is that we're constantly looking as Christians for an outside source. And I'll say Christians as a whole. I'm going to throw myself in that, but not necessarily 100%. I believe that Christianity spends too much time looking for answers and looking for things and praying that God would somehow drop this rock with the answer on it, you know.
Right.
When in
like,
fact,
should be
the
a
answers,
sign, like, yeah, like a burning bush or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jesus said, you know, only a perverse generation looks for a sign. Why? Because the point is that they're looking for an outside source. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is right there, you need to be born again spiritually, or kingdom, because you need the lights to turn on. The castle's there, the kingdom's there, the lights are off. You need to restore power to the kingdom and everything. What did he say? Seek the kingdom, because all these things are asked you as well when you're seeking the kingdom. In other words, everything's there in the kingdom. Everything's there on your journey to the kingdom. Everything's there. Is it unreachable? No, I believe it's reachable. I just think that we've been tainted so much with the crud and through all this other stuff that it's kind of like looking for a key stuck in a brick in a castle somewhere, but you have no idea where it's at.
Right. Jackson Crabtree wrote an interesting article years ago about how man is separated from his divinity through that duality, which I think it is appropriate that you consider yourself to be like a monist. That duality, by separating that divinity outside, you know, like looking for that burning bush, is what separates you from your divinity. And it sounds as if you follow a similar mindset.
Right. And the other thing I would like to ask Tim, if I could also interject here really quickly, is what exactly do you mean, like, the kingdom's out of reach because we've been muddled? Like, is that going back to Adam and Eve, or what's that corrupted aspect?
The funny thing about Adam and Eve is we use them as the two first people, when we obviously know. Obviously, I would be telling you guys nothing new when we said Adam means man, right, mankind. Eve means first woman, or means woman. So we're talking about the fact that I believe that Adam and Eve, first of all, is not a little story. I do not believe we're fighting over a plot of land called a garden, a couple of trees, some fruit, and a talking snake, and a couple of people. Because if that was the case, then why would Adam and Eve, who had a couple of kids, right, be trying to find mates for them? So obviously when you read the story, you're realizing that, well, they weren't the only ones there. So there is more. There was more. So I think it's just Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve is a story of mankind choosing, which I see the tree of life as, you know, and the garden of good and evil, the tree of good and evil as life choices we have to make to build what we do. But we're muddled because when we don't have, when something is altered, if you're driving along, you get in a car accident, and you're paralyzed from the waist down, which I know some people who had that happen, their life is forever muddled. And I know that's an extreme, but so I might be way off when I'm saying this. But what we've done is we've muddled what Jesus brought to earth, what the true kingdom was about, loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and soul, and loving your neighbors yourself. Against such things there's no law, to what we have now. And so I think that the kingdom is harder to get to because people like me get called Wiccan priests, get called heretics, say I'm going to burn in hell. For trying to bring people out of the muddled idea, this muddled idea that there's more to God than the Bible. He's not contained in this small little book that I read. Or is he contained in all the books of the world, even if you read them all?
Right, and Jesus himself hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes, so in a sense, that's the other thing that got lost. A lot of people that claim to be Christians just hang out with their own kind, and that's it.
No, I agree. No, I'll be honest with you. If I had my choice, if I could sit there and say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna ask God, I would say, God, can you leave certain Christians, you know, here, or take them, and can you bring me? I'll take a few. There's a dozen or two Satanists, that I hang around with, you included, and Beast, and I would say, hey, can they hang out with me in the kingdom? I'm there for you guys. I really am. You know what I mean? I would rather have you guys there than have some of these other Christians. I don't want to hang out with them. You know, I mean, I think that the thing is, because at least that they get so afraid of the big bad wolf that they're going to be contaminated, you know, that they're going to be contaminated by something when in fact, you know, you're only contaminated if you let it contaminate you, if you allow it, but if you can pick something up from it, then you're a better person for it. So why not? You know what I mean? Seek the wisdom of what's being said.
Awesome. Wow, this is a fantastic hour. We've got about 4 minutes left. Tim, I don't know if you've got a YouTube channel or anything you want to plug, but I usually give people who we do the highlight edition for an opportunity to plug whatever they're working on. So.
Oh man. I'd like to be. I was actually going to write a book. Try to. I know everybody's writing a book, and mine would be, you know, probably not one that mostly would want to pick up on it. But I mean, I wanted to call it, "Hey, Shut Up, I'm Talking Now." Why I Left Christianity in Pursuit of the Kingdom was going to be the title, because I wanted to. I wanted to convey the fact that Christianity has taken a bad turn. In this whole thing. But I have a Tim's Hardcore is my YouTube site, and it's really kind of dull since I've been over on Sin. All you guys left me and came over there, so I had to come join. Not really working on much. I work a lot, so I don't have a lot of time to read and a lot of time to do much. But, you know, I want to say this. I appreciate everything you guys have done and let me do this and let me just come on and share my feelings. I want to thank all you guys. It's been excellent.
And that's not a problem, man. I've said often that you're more satanic than most of the Satanists I know. So.
And we want to thank you for coming on and making this an awesome show.
Oh, I hope I made it that way. You're not just saying that, because I really enjoyed the name. And let me tell you, you guys were nice to me. I was expecting a lot more, believe me. But, I expect you guys to really rip me, but I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me on again, guys.
Yeah, man, no problem. If it's anything, if I can encourage you to write that book, please do. I would, I'd put a link for it on my website for sure. So,
I will. You know, it's funny, I started to write a book about a year ago or 2 years ago, and it didn't. And I had to get rid of it. I read a few, wrote a few chapters and got rid of it because I realized how much I've changed. The book would be totally different. I would disagree with my own book if I wrote another one today.
Right on. Well. As somebody who's writing a book, I understand why that's difficult, but I think you just have to write for your mindset now and hope that your views don't change before you finish it. It's been awesome, man. I think we're going to go ahead and call it quits here. I'm going to roll the outro, and we'll be seeing you around, my man.
All right. Peace, guys. Thanks again, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dad, the Rocky DeRoma, for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?